Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Bernie Murphy. Bernie, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Another difficult day. You were hoping that there would be some form of closure yesterday with the court case.
Yes.
Your son, Cormac, he was killed in a car crash in May 2017. What took it so long to get to court, do you know, Bernie?
Well, basically, it was just adjourned every time for more information, you know, for medical reasons and for psychiatric reports. And
okay.
Not on our behalf, on the opposition, you know.
Okay. You weren't happy with the outcome because the man who was driving the car, Pete Rogers, was he a friend of young Cormac's, your son?
Yeah, they were friends. They were good friends. And okay. They were out together on a normal weekend. It was just a normal Saturday night.
Yeah.
They were out together, like.
And he pleaded, Pete pleaded guilty to careless driving, and he was given 240 hours community service.
That's right, yeah.
What was your reaction when you heard that?
My heart sank to the bottom of my stomach. Couldn't believe my ears. Couldn't believe it. Because Cormac, like, you know, Cormac meant so much to us. He was a huge part of our life.
Yeah.
And we had to sit there and listen to that. It was an awful blow.
And on the night, how many of them were in the car?
There were six in the car. There was four in the back and the driver and then someone in the front seat. Six in the car.
And do we know where Cormac was sitting?
Well, Cormac was in the back. We presume he was between the two seats because Cormac was flung from the back into the front.
Yeah.
That's how he got his injury to his brain.
And if there was four of them in the back, there was probably no seatbelt, was there?
Not at all. No seatbelt.
Yeah. And as the judge pointed out correctly, it is the responsibility of the driver to ensure that the passengers are wearing seatbelts. That's the law. You mentioned that Cormac was thrown through the front window, and obviously when you got the call on the night, Bernie, what were you told?
Well, the accident happened about 5:15, and I was notified by my niece Aoife. And she rang and she said, Bernie, is Cormac home? And I said, no, he's not. And she says, oh, God, there's an accident over the road. It's not good. So I got into my car and I went straight over. Mm-hmm. And the guard stopped me and he said, you can't go any further. And I said, my son is in that accident. So he asked his name. So he made a call then and he came back and he said to me, oh, Cormac he's not too bad. He's okay, he said he was gone to Cavan Hospital. He said he's by no means the worst, so, and I said, okay, so sure, I spun the weeds, come home, told Fergus and Andrea, and then we headed to Cavan, and on our way to Cavan, the hospital rang and said, where are you? So we need you down here. So at that point we said, oh God, this is not good. So from there on, it just wasn't good at all, went downhill completely for us.
And how long did you stay with Cormac for, Bernie?
We stayed with Cormac from... We were down in the hospital about 10 o'clock or before it, and we never left Cormac's side until Cormac came home Thursday evening. He was in Cavan General until Wednesday. He was on a life support machine from the very beginning. Like, the doctors tried to tell us, you know, this is it. And we said, no, we couldn't accept it. We didn't want to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what was happening, you know. We just couldn't believe it. It was just disbelief. So we fought for Cormac to get to Beaumont. And there was no need in Cormac going to Beaumont. But we wanted just to give him a chance. We just begged him, you know, please help Cormac. Help us. Because life without Cormac, we knew, you know, our life was over if we hadn't this man in our life. And so they sent us up to Beaumont on the Wednesday. And we were going up in the car. And I said to Fergus, there's not going to be any different for us. And he said, no, it's not. And literally, the life is drained out of Cormac. And we had to sit and watch our son. You know, and it was just devastating. So we slept on the floor. We slept around the bed. We lay on the couch, we had chairs, the nurses, everybody was very good to us, but we never left Cormac side. Yeah. We didn't want to leave. We didn't want this, you know.
And
you
never...
know, we even went to the stage, yeah. Joe, I wanted to bring him home and bury him in my garden here. I would have loved it, but sure, it was unnatural. We just wanted him here with us.
And did Cormac ever get to Beaumont?
He did, yeah. He got to Beaumont. Okay. He got to Beaumont on the Wednesday. But you see, you know, they knew in Cavan, there's no point this man going up to Beaumont. They knew. But it was to try to get into our heads. That was the problem. We didn't want to know, you know, we said, come on, give him a chance. There has to be someone. So they done that for us. But, you know, we knew going up the road, like we said, what are we after doing here? Because poor Cormac, he just couldn't come out of this. And you could see every day, we could see it in him every day, you know, the life just draining out of him every day.
And there was no, did he regain consciousness even momentarily?
No, from the word go, Cormac just, he couldn't do it. From that morning after the accident at 5 a.m, Cormac was in trouble. But it was just a disbelief, you know.
And how did the other people in the car, how did they fare?
Well, everyone was very seriously injured. Like, Mark is Cormac's best friend, and he was in hospital for months. He hurt his back, he'd stitch it in his head, he was in an off state. You know, he couldn't walk. Even Pete the driver, like, he was in a bad way. Eddie, another friend, he broke his leg. It was horrific injuries. It was a horrific accident. Like, this man walked over the road and he didn't know my son was in the accident. I was in the car. And he said, God, if anyone comes out of that alive, to be a lucky person.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah. It was just unnatural. And, like, Joe, it's just over the road. I have to pass that on the way into my local town every day. And I put flowers on the pole. I'm going to put lights now for Christmas. But that's what we look at every day, where our son was killed.
And insofar as we know, what happened the six of them in the car? The car was where was it going at that hour of the morning? Do we know? Were they all going?
Sure, nobody knows. These young fellas, sure, they're out coming from Kells and I don't know where they're going. Do you know, some house party or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, you know, did the six of them, did they pal around together, Bernie, generally? Did they travel together generally?
Yeah, well, there was a girl in it now, Shauna Daly. I don't know who she is. She was from Bailiver, like, I've never heard of her before. Like, I think it was actually a lift that she got.
Oh, God.
More than that.
Yeah.
And
how was Shauna?
Yeah, they're all fairly good. Mark is the only one that hasn't really come out of it just yet. Okay. The rest of them seem to be getting on with their lives. Mark and Cormac were best friends, you know, and it's very hard for Mark.
And at any stage, especially after the case yesterday, that's what I'm thinking about, did anyone come up and explain or make an effort to explain to the family what happened and their sorrow at what happened and the fact that you've lost your boy?
No, Joe, it was very difficult to listen. Like, we were down there yesterday and the judge never even looked aside we were, and it was all about this young man and his life and his apprenticeship and what his future would be, and Cormac didn't even come into it, or either did we. You couldn't listen to it. I wanted to get up and walk out, but you're not allowed to do that. You know, it was very, very hard. It was this Cormac never existed in this world. But Cormac was such a huge part of our life. It was just so hard to hear. You know?
But the newspaper report said he was spared jail for careless driving causing the death of his friend Cormac Murphy. So it was careless driving.
Yeah, well, see, what happened there was it was dangerous driving, but the barrister sort of said there was acting on our behalf.
So there'd be different things going on, you know, just to get it. So it didn't bring closure for you yesterday. That's not that anything would, Bernie. You know,
no,
that.
There's no justice out there for the loss of a child. You know,
Do you think? Do you think
we had to get something out of it? Yeah. Just something.
Do you think there's any? What would have sent out a warning to? Apart from the tragedy of the death of this gorgeous young boy, what would have sent out a warning to other young people? Listen, six in a car, 5 o'clock in the morning. somebody has to take a leadership position and say, lads, listen, this is crazy. Yeah. We don't even have enough seatbelts.
I know.
How do we get that message across to young people?
I don't know. Like, I was asked that question twice already. You know, what would you say? Look, I feel young people will still do it.
Do you think
so?
Yeah?
I don't know what they need to get into their head.
But there have been so many tragedies of this kind, Bernie.
Yeah, oh, I know. Look, I know. And I never thought it was going to come to my door, but it did.
Yeah.
You know, and it's life-changing.
And
life-changing for us all.
Would it help if the driver or the driver's family spoke to you and spoke about their sorrow, which I'm sure they have? Would that help Bernie in any way?
No, I wouldn't at this stage, Joe, because we're 3.5 years on and we've been dragged through court and our voice has not been heard yet. So at this stage, you know, there's nothing they can say.
3.5
they're,
years?
They're looking after their son, same as I'd look after my son.
Yeah, okay, I understand that. 3.5 years. So is this the fourth Christmas?
This is our fourth Christmas without Cormac, yeah.
And I see you're putting up lights. Is that you mentioned?
Yeah, Cormac loved Christmas. I put up 4 Christmas trees here in the house, and I still do. So even that first Christmas, my family was sort of saying, like, what do we do? I said, yeah, everyone just put up their lights. You know, Cormac loved Christmas. He loved the house lit up, and I still do it, and that's what I will do too. The Cormac is 24 now on the 8th of December. Tuesday.
Oh,
gosh. Yeah.
So we love Christmas. His birthday and Christmas are in the same month.
Yeah, his birthday and Christmas. He loved, yeah. Like, for Cormac's 21st, that was our first Christmas without Cormac. For Cormac's 21st, we had a mass in St. Killian's Church in Mulla. Yeah. That's how we celebrated Cormac's 21st, with a mass. Then all the friends came back to the house and we had a cake. Happy birthday, Cormac. And then there was a tractor run organised for him as well. But that's not the 21st. We had planned or wanted.
And did you mention earlier he was into trucks and tractors and mechanics?
Oh, he was into trucks. He had his own tractor. He started working at 14, had his own tractor, and he was going to be a millionaire.
Brilliant. And are you on a farm, Bernie?
No, well, Fergus is, he's a lorry driver. But my mother, like, she's a farm here, like, you know, I live beside my mum.
And where did Cormac work the tractor?
Cormac had his own tractor and
was
he
just a hobby?
His own bales of silage and all this sort of thing for my brother Jim and for neighbours, and whoever would pay him, he'd do the work.
Yeah.
And he loved working and he loved lorries, and that was ambition. He had passed his Arctic licence and he was ready to go.
Wow.
But it never happened.
Oh, that's incredible. And as you say, he was no lights. You're talking about putting the lights on the spot where he died.
Yeah.
But he was the light of your life, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he was born 7:20 on a Sunday evening. He was an absolutely lovely child. And from the minute he came into this world, you couldn't fault him. You know, you said, Cormac, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, sure, I don't want anything.
Yeah.
That was his attitude. You know, and he never asked for anything. He was a great kid.
What an incredible. And how have you been, Bernie?
I've been terrible, Joe, and so was the whole family. Like, you know, we had to adjust to this new life, as I'd call it, with no Cormac, you know, as well as trying to cope with grief and trying to cope with courts and everything that's going on. And I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And it's very hard, you know, your every ordinary day, Joe. You see young lads out there, you know, and you look at people with their families, and you just have this longing for Cormac.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to happen.
And I'm just thinking a lot of the country is opening up again today, Bernie, as it happens. And maybe tonight someone will be tempted. Hopefully tonight someone will say, did you hear that incredible woman on the radio today talking about her incredible son? Well, one of us lads has to either get out of the car so we all have seatbelts, or get a taxi or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bernie, condolences on this incredible loss which you are enduring and will endure for a long, long time. He sounds like he was a remarkable young man. remark. God rest him, Bernie. God rest him, and look after yourself. And I hope that little ceremony at the spot this evening is which it will be, with your family involved, which will be dignified and safe. Bernie Murphy, thanks indeed. That's Bernie
thank
Murphy.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you. She's talking about the death of her beautiful boy, Cormac, in a car crash. Six of them in the car. Just a warning. Somebody, especially young men. We hear it so often, but somebody has to say, listen, lads, I know this is not popular, but six of us aren't getting into that car. There's not even enough seatbelts. Let's pool in our money, ring one of our buddies, ring one of our friends, ring one of our boyfriends or girlfriends to come down and give us a lift home and two shuttles, or ask the barman or somebody to give you a lift home. But look at the tragedy that befell that family because of that night back in May 2017.